Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Ba'al Oisra Revi'i, the fourth Aliyah in the parasha Ba'al Oisra. Our topic is travel and trumpets. It is to be found in Bamidbar Perek Tes, Tezvov to Perek Yud Yud, which is 18 psukim in total. The topic is summarized as follows. We first hear at the end of Perek Tes about the travel. We hear that when the Mishkan was set up, the cloud would cover it, and at night there would be a pillar of fire. When the cloud would lift, they would travel to the place where the cloud rested. And it was always Al-Pi Hashem. Based on the word of Hashem, they would camp and they would travel. When the cloud remained a long time in the Mishkan, they would obey and they would remain in that area. It could even be a day or two that they were in the same area. The rule was that they camped based on the command of Hashem. That's topic number one. Topic number two is the trumpets. We hear about the command to make these trumpets, which are silver, fully made out of one piece, miksha, and they were blown together to gather the people and to travel. So when they were blown, everybody congregated at the entrance of the Mishkan. If only one trumpet, there were two trumpets. If one of them was blown with a tekiah, one long sound, then only the leaders would come. That would be a signal to them. If truah was blown, that, as Rashi understands, based on the Midrash, means tekiah, truah, tekiah, so a long note, a broken note, and a long note, then the camps would start moving with the eastmost camp. If the second truah, which means a tekiah, truah, tekiah, was blown, then the camps who were moving on the south would move next. When the people would only be a tekiah. But we also hear that the people in charge of the trumpets were the Kohanim, and if a war came upon Israel, they would blow trumpets and be remembered by Hashem. On the festivals, on in Rosh Chodesh, on happy times, Yom Simcha Aschem, then they would also blow the shofar alongside with the korbanos, the korbanos tzibur, the communal korbanos which are blown, and thereby be remembered also by Hashem. So a few points to ponder in this section that we're learning today. Number one is, how do they know, what was the exact mechanism of moving and camping? Rashi says, when it was time to travel, the cloud would form a tall pillar above the camp of Yehuda, and Moshe would say, Kuma Hashem, the pasuk we're going to hear next in two Aliyah's time, and the movement would begin. When it was time to camp, then the clouds would turn into a canopy over Yehuda like a sukkah, and Moshe Rabbeinu would say, Shuv Hashem, river voice Alfa Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael would camp in that area. Why the examples of long and short travel? All the Aliyah needed to tell us, the Torah just needed to tell us, was that it was based on the word of Hashem. So why would they need, does it need to say that it could be a year, it could be a days? So the Ramban explained, to show the dedication of Bnei Yisrael. If it was a rotten place and they had to stay there a long time, they stayed there a long time. It was a beautiful place and they needed to stay there one day, that was also fine, even though it might have been a great tircha, a great trouble to pack up and leave right away. They nonetheless listened. We learn also a fascinating and interesting halacha from here. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamed Aleph from Beis teaches that there's a number of melachos learnt out of the Mishkan. All 39 melachos are learned out of the Mishkan, but in our section here, one of the melachos that is learnt out is the notion of soiser. Soiser means to destroy something. So the halacha is soiser has to be almanos livnois bimkoma. Distraction has to be creative. So how can it be creative if you're destroying? It's if you're going to destroy in order to rebuild in the very same spot. So therefore your destructive action turns into a constructive action. That being the case, the Gemara asks the very basic question. But if we learn it out of the Mishkan, as you see in this parasha, they never destroyed or took apart the Mishkan and rebuilt in the same place. That was the whole point. The point was they were going to be traveling, so they would unpack it here, they would take it down here, and then they would move it over there to a new place. So how could it be that we learn the halacha that destruction needs to be soiser almanas livnois bimkoma, to rebuild it in the same place? So the Gemara says a fascinating halacha, and the Gemara says, because it was al pi Hashem yachanu, because it was based on the mouth of Hashem that they camped, therefore it's as if they were doing it in the same place. What does that mean exactly? So Rav Chaim Shmuel Leibowitz explains in a very beautiful idea. And he says, imagine that you have a mother taking her child to an appointment, and the mother has to get onto the go to the train station. She's holding this little baby, and then she goes and she waits on the bench, and then she goes to she gets a seat in the train, and then she gets to the train station, and then she goes to the subway, and then she walks down the street, and then she goes to the doctor's office and waits in the waiting room, and then she goes to the doctor, and then she enters the doctor's room, and then she has to go all the way back just to bring the child back. So half a day activity. So if you ask, where was the mother geographically, no GPS, where was she? Well, her location kept changing. She was in one place, then another place, then a moving place, then everything was shifting. But where was the child? Well, relative to the mother, the child was in one place, and that was on the mother's lap. Relative to the ground, he was moving, but relative to the mother, he was always in her lap. That's what the Torah is telling us over here, and that's what the Gemara is emphasizing. Because it was al pi Hashem, it was based on the mouth of Hashem, then even though we were moving a lot of times and a lot of places, it turned out that it was essentially in Hashem's lap. We were always in the same place because we were doing it by Hashem's command. We were in our parents' lap and embrace. Last question is how is it that the shofar acts as a zikaron, as a memory, as a remembrance? This is something where we actually, in the halachas, in this aliyah, out of the notion of malchios, zikaronos, and shofaros on Rosh Hashanah, are learned from this aliyah. There are those three sections in the davening. But how is the shofar a reminder? Stephen Ezra explains, it's because by the fact that you call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu using a shofar or a trumpet shows us that we care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ksava Kabbalah, Yaakov of Mecklenburg, explains that actually it's because the sound of the shofar is like a siren and it wakes somebody up. Whenever one hears a siren, unfortunately in Israel people hear sirens too often, people wake up, it shakes the person. One can't sleep at night when one hears this. And how does that work? It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgets us. Forget is a code name for Hester Ponim, when Hashem hides. If we want Hashem not to hide, we need to let Him in. To let Him in, we need to wake up. That's what the shofar is doing. That's what the chatzotzros are doing, these trumpets are doing, in order to wake us up, to allow us to see Hashem in our lives. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.